Miss Ophelia's experiences and opinions continued.
"Tom, you needn't get me the horses. I don't want to go," she said.
"Why not, Miss Eva?"
"These things sink into my heart, Tom," said Eva. "They sink into my heart," she repeated earnestly. "I don't want to go."
And she turned from Tom and went into the house. A few days after, another woman came in old Prue's place to bring the rusks. Miss Ophelia was in the kitchen.
"Lor," said Dinah, "what's got Prue?"
"Prue isn't coming any more," said the woman mysteriously.
"Why not?" said Dinah. "She ain't dead, is she?"
"We doesn't exactly know. She's down cellar," said the woman, glancing at Miss Ophelia.
After Miss Ophelia had taken the rusks, Dinah followed the woman to the door.
"What has got Prue, anyhow?" she said.
The woman seemed desirous, yet reluctant, to speak, and answered in low, mysterious tone.
"Well, you mustn't tell nobody. Prue, she got drunk again, and they had her down cellar, and thar they left her all day. And I hearn 'em say that the flies had got to her, and she's dead."
Dinah held up her hands, and, turning, saw close by her side the spirit-like form of Evangeline. Her large, mystic eyes dilated with horror, and every drop of blood driven from her lips and cheeks.
"Lord bless us, Miss Eva's gwine faint away. What got us all to let her hear such talk? Her pa'll be rail mad."
"I shan't faint, Dinah," said the child firmly. "And why shouldn't I hear it? It ain't so much for me to hear it, as for poor Prue to suffer it."
"Lor's sakes, it isn't for a sweet, delicate young ladies like you. These yer stories isn't. It's enough to kill 'em."
Eva sighed again, and walked upstairs with a slow and melancholy step. Miss Ophelia anxiously inquired the woman's story. Dinah gave a very garrulous version of it, to which Tom added the particulars which he had drawn from her that morning.
"An abominable business! Perfectly horrible!" she exclaimed as she entered the room where St. Clair lay reading his paper.
"Pray, what iniquity has turned up now?" said he.
"What now? Why, those folks have whipped Prue to death," said Miss Ophelia, going on with great strength of detail into the story and enlarging on its most shocking particulars.
"I thought it would come to that some time," said St. Clair, going on with his paper.
"Thought so! Aren't you going to do anything about it?"
said Miss Ophelia.
"Haven't you got any selectmen or anybody to interfere and look after such matters?"
It's commonly supposed that the property interest is a sufficient guard in these cases. If people choose to ruin their own possessions, I don't know what's to be done. It seems the poor creature was a thief and a drunkard, and so there won't be much hope to get up sympathy for her."
"It is perfectly outrageous! It is horrid, Augustine! It will certainly bring down vengeance upon you."
"My dear cousin, I didn't do it, and I can't help it. I would if I could. If low-minded, brutal people will act like themselves, what am I to do? They have absolute control. They are irresponsible despots. There would be no use in interfering. There is no law that amounts to anything practically for such a case. The best we can do is to shut our eyes and ears and let it alone. It's the only resource left us."
"How can you shut your eyes and ears? How can you let such things alone?"
"My dear child, what do you expect? Here is a whole class, debased, uneducated, indolent, provoking, put, without any sort of terms or conditions, entirely into the hands of such people as the majority in our world are, people who have neither consideration nor self-control, who haven't even an enlightened regard to their own interest, for that's the case with the largest half of mankind. Of course, in a community so organized, what can a man of honorable and humane feelings do but shut his eyes all he can and harden his heart? I can't buy every wretch I see. I can't turn knight-errant and undertake to redress every individual case of wrong in such a city as this. The most I can do is to try and keep out of the way of it." St. Clair's fine countenance was for a moment overcast. He said,
"Come, cousin, don't stand there looking like one of the fates. You've only seen a peep through the curtain, a specimen of what is going on, the world over, in some shape or other. If we are to be prying and spying into all the dismals of life, we should have no heart to anything. 'Tis like looking too close into the details of Dinah's kitchen, and St. Clair lay back on the sofa and busied himself with his paper.